Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All of last week, I was in Florida. She's been telling me that she made this soup that she was really excited for me to try. It's not soup. It's just pasta.
It's not possible to like balance every single thing in life at the same time. You can prioritize some things at one time, but you can't do every single thing at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know?
Pretty good.
Yeah. You like that one?
You know what I've been thinking about? You know, we're 26 now.
Dang.
Sorry.
So why'd you say that?
That's end statement.
End of the episode. If you are someone who procrastinates and might have low self-esteem, you feel like the world is against you and you have imposter syndrome, then you might be someone that self-sabotages a lot, okay? And this episode might be a little subtweet for you, but this is made with love and it's made for you to get better and understand these tendencies. This episode is very jam-packed and it will make you understand some of the factors that lead to you becoming a self-sabotager when you're older, and it will make you want to be better because a lot of us have gone into toxic relationships and have self-sabotaged our life, our careers, and we are not trying to get to our highest potential when we most definitely can. So this is going to be a wake-up call for you, okay? So if you're interested, make sure to keep on watching or listening. All right, welcome back to our podcast called Difficult-ish, a podcast about different South Asian narratives. I am your co-host, Mahua Khan. I got my daily intake of water today.
Yep, good.
And you?
It's me today, black coffee in the Ecuador mug, Mashnoon. See it, hand painted.
Yeah, that's
it's me, co-host of Difficult-ish.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for joining us for this week.
Yeah.
Without any further ado, like the video, subscribe to the channel, rate the podcast, review the podcast. Please do all of that because it's super easy and free.
And free. And when we are posting this episode, we just hit like 600 ratings on Spotify.
Oh, did we?
Which is such a big deal because like
that's a lot.
Ratings and reviews help us so much with like the growth of the podcast. And then also bringing these conversations to other people, reaching a wider audience is so free, so quick to do. So if you have the time to do that 5 seconds,
yeah, do that.
Please just like hit a little star.
Do that
for
me.
That. It helps a lot.
Do that for me.
But yeah, let's get into it. How are we doing
today?
Yeah,
what's up? What's up? How you been? I just got here. I was in Florida for a while.
Yeah.
Back at home, you know.
We were doing work.
Florida weather. I was so busy.
Yeah.
With like my actual job and then things apart from job. But
what has been taking up your life and your time so far?
Just job, and family time. Oh,
yeah,
family time.
Because guess what?
A lot of family time. What?
His sister's getting married, you know? So that means my sister is also getting married.
My big old sister, she's getting married.
So we've been doing a lot of wedding prep for that.
Yeah, I'm tired.
Wedding shopping.
It's a lot.
Event planning.
It's a lot. Don't get married, y'all. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Unless y'all got like a team of like 18 aunties helping you out. They'll stress you out, but at least, you know, they're taking some
of
the load. Huh?
We low-key got like
not
a team.
Aunties.
Not aunties, but like people that
yeah,
are
we got
out.
We got some heavy hitters, thank God.
Like
but not it's not a big group by any means.
I feel like when our wedding season time comes around, we're gonna have so many different episode topics that I'm excited about because like as we're stressing through it, we'll obviously like talk it out. Like there's gonna be probably a whole episode on just like planning a wedding and like the community effort that goes into it, but also just like the mental capacity it takes, right?
A lot.
And then on top of that, we'll talk about like just Bangli weddings, South Asian
There's
wedding
no rush,
cultures
yo.
In general.
There's no rush, yo.
There's a lot involved.
Take your time.
Take your time. Yeah.
Take your time. But yeah, been busy time, you know, family time.
We're doing like a lot of like the dancing actually. right, we're planning. Yeah, you're gonna be the choreographer.
I'm choreographer. Y'all,
hey, y'all, you just did the wave.
Yeah, I'm choreing the whole dance.
Are you ready for that?
I'm also like emceeing like a portion of it.
Are you?
I don't know if I told you. Like,
you
too
didn't.
Much about
you
it.
Didn't
yeah.
tell me that.
I mean, there's the DJ who's gonna be the MC, but I'm gonna like introduce the bride and groom like into like the reception space.
Wow! Yeah, like as a married couple.
Yeah. Like, okay. Yes. Cool. So like before that, we're gonna play like the little like gate game. What's it called? The gate game.
I forgot what the name of
it's
the actual thing
the
is.
No mister for my sister, you know, like the
like pay up.
Yeah, pay up.
No honey without money.
That's a good one. Yeah, we're gonna be playing those games. And then after that, you know, after he pays up and you know,
how do you even know,
I'm taxing like, him. I'm
how
taxing
do you even
him.
Know how much to charge for that? Like there's so
he
many
got
things.
Brings. Mm.
No, but it's like he doesn't he's some. Not the one that thinks about the amount and the price. It's like the bride side that thinks about
yeah exactly
how much they have to pay.
Yeah,
so it's like how do you even price that?
Put them on a payment plan.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. And then after that I will be introducing, you know, them into them.
Wow, that's gonna be a that's yeah, gonna be a character.
Yeah,
that's
so gonna be something. You know, booked and busy yeah. Book me for your
please,
MCs.
Please don't
wedding MCs, MC Mashin. Yo, what's up, how are you?
But yeah, today what are we talking about?
This is a heavy one.
This
is a heavy one. We'll try to make it light, but you know, this one is about self-sabotage.
And guess what? This is just part one because
yeah.
There's just so much involved with this topic. And we usually try to like jam-pack our episodes with like the most information as possible, talking about, you know, the topic and then talking about the causes of it and then how it manifests and then how to unlearn it or fix it in your adult life. And we want to try to like make these episodes a lot more like in depth by adding more information, but that also means like separating it into different parts. So this is just part one, right? Like in this self-sabotaging episode, it might be like a wake-up call for some of you guys. It might be a little we're subbing you hard, right? Because like some of these things might be hard to hear, but it's important, right? Because a lot of us might have some like self-sabotaging tendencies, and it's important to like hear it from us who have gone through it, who yeah. have unlearned it, most of it, and just get in the process of that, right? Because sometimes we don't even realize that we're like self-sabotaging. So in this part one episode, we are going to be talking about what is the meaning of self-sabotage.
What
right
is it?
We're going to be talking about some of the types of self-sabotaging. We're going to talk about the root causes of it, slash also like how South Asian culture slash like religious tendencies can play a part in self-sabotaging. And then finally, we're going to talk about how self-sabotage manifests into our personal life, into our adulthood. Mm. So it can be like in our career, in our relationships, whether it's platonic or romantic relationships. So we're going to be talking about it all, right?
That's a lot.
And if you want to really learn how to break the cycle, unlearn these habits, and just be more your more most like healthy self, you have to wait for part two. Okay?
Oh my
because
god!
That
what
one
a cliffhanger!
Is,
that was good.
That was a good one.
Who taught you that?
Yeah, that's good. All right, but yeah, in the next part, we're gonna be talking about all of our. Well, most of our ways, it's not possible to think about, like, all of them, because there are so many, to, like, break the cycle and unlearn these toxic habits. So make sure to stay tuned for that, because this one is just, like, touching the surface, right? Just scratching the surface.
It is.
The next part will be, like, actually
how to
unlearn it,
we're
right?
We're in it. We're not playing. Yeah.
But yeah.
Good little intro. What's up? Like,
yeah, I'm excited about this one.
Yeah, what's up? Like, where you want to start? Like, where are we starting off?
I feel like we can start off with, like, the definition. You want to do it or should I do the honors?
I mean, I'll give like the Mashin definition.
Oh, you want to do a Mashin definition?
Okay,
go ahead.
The Mashin definition.
Okay.
Let me think about it first.
Okay.
So the Mashin definition would be like, it's like, you know when like you're making yourself a sandwich and like, like you're trying to follow a recipe, which is, you know, like 1 tablespoon of mayonnaise
right.
and 4 slices of turkey. Because you know that, like, anything more than that is, like, bad for you, you
right.
know? But it's, like, sometimes you just gotta, like, you know, like, push the limits a little bit, you know? Just because, like, there's, like, something, like, internally that's, like, calling you, what the reason, like, we'll get into that. It might be because you have eating problems.
Okay, so I didn't,
it might be because, you know,
I didn't understand this metaphor at all. Okay. Can I proceed with, like, the actual definition?
Yeah, feel free.
Okay.
Feel free.
I don't know why you brought it to, like, mayonnaise, like, and, like, making it.
If you understand, like, all right, whatever, okay, go ahead.
So I asked Miss Chat GPT and Miss Google, like, what is self-sabotage, right? Like, how do we break it down for a dummy? So self-sabotage is when someone undermines their own goals and values through behaviors or thought patterns that work against their best interests. Self-sabotage can be caused by subconscious fears, low self-worth, or negative beliefs leading to behaviors that hinder goals. Okay. You want to break
that down? No, that's what I meant. I was like, what I was getting to. Like, that's a good definition. Good definition. Yeah. That's true.
Do you feel like you have self-sabotaging tendencies?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. You know, one thing that you said earlier was, self-sabotaging is one of those things that we don't even realize that we're doing a lot of time. And I think that's, there's a lot of truth to that. Because I never associated the word self-sabotage to, like, my personality. But absolutely, I think we've had a lot of episodes where we talk about, like, anxiety and imposter syndrome and a lot of things, a lot of, like, the poor personality traits we'll have that arise from those, like, those emotions or whatever. And I think self-sabotaging is, like, weaved throughout that, you know. So there, I definitely do have a lot of tendencies that, like, I can label as self-sabotaging. I mean just to name one is, like, I've said this a bunch, but I remember in all throughout my schooling, I would never check my grades. I'd never check my grades. Sure, there's a bunch of reasons why, but I think one of the main ones was just because of, like, the fear and the anxiety that, like, I'm failing, you know? And, like, I just didn't want to face that. I didn't want to confront that. And, you know, the part two to that is I am failing. And now the fact that I don't know what exactly I need to do to start passing and start getting, like, on, like, the right path again. I don't know how to get on the right path because I'm not checking, and I'm not checking because, you know, so all of this can be, like, labeled as, like, self-sabotage. So absolutely, I think I have done, and I don't think I do it too much anymore. You know, maybe some things here and there I can label it that, but definitely growing up, I think I struggled with this a lot.
I think something else that's related to that is procrastination. Like, you would procrastinate checking your grades or doing the work that you needed to do to actually succeed or get better grades in something because of the fear of failure. Because I think a lot of us grew up with, like, really high expectations in the South Asian Bangladeshi community, where we were expected to, like, exceed and get the highest of grades and make something of ourselves career wise and as a person.
Right.
And because of that, sometimes we feel like that overwhelming fear of, like, trying to be our best but not really hitting the mark yet. And that makes us it makes us motivated but also burnt out and overwhelmed and not as motivated because it's like so much coming at us at the same time, you know. So I feel like that also leads to procrastination, which I feel like you still have some tendencies of, but I don't am I gonna say that you're like the you don't procrastinate at all?
Like, you know, I didn't know we're going there.
No, but it's not a bad thing. Like, I don't think the procrastination is necessarily, like, your form of self-sabotaging. I think it might be just, like, another symptom of your ADHD, but, like, I think procrastination is a very big part of self-sabotage.
I got a question.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you found the answer through, like, your extensive research or whatever, but why do we self-sabotage? Like, why? Like, I understand what you're saying. Oh, it's you know, it comes from fear, imposter syndrome, it comes from all these things, but it's like, why do we do it? Like, what about it makes us, like, does it give us, like, a dopamine kick? I don't think it does, because it's like, it's the opposite of, like, a dopamine kick.
I mean, I think there are so many, like, different root causes to it. Like what you said, there's a fear of failure, but there's also a fear of success. And then especially if you grow up with, like, low self-esteem, I think you bring that into your adulthood, you know? Like, if you forever just see toxic relationships around you, like, your parents didn't have the best relationship, you didn't see much of, like, healthy, happy relationships in media, you're going to grow up feeling like that's the expectation, that's what you deserve, and, like, so low self-esteem makes you feel like you don't deserve to have, like, a happy, safe, soft life, right? And that can like hinder you in your career. Like you might feel like you don't deserve to have like the CEO position, you don't deserve to have like the highest position, and you might feel like you don't deserve to be in like a space that you're in work-wise, or even the relationship, right? Like there are many people that could be in a healthier relationship and it's so foreign to them because they didn't grow up with that, or they've never been in one, and they're so used to just like being self-deprecating or having low self-esteem, where they don't feel like they belong or they don't feel like they deserve happiness, where they push that person away as much as possible, pick fights, or they don't know how to be vulnerable and this and that. So I feel like there are so many different root causes to it. Like even if we are talking about like being from a South Asian background and being from that type of upbringing, obviously this isn't like every single family, this is a little bit generalized, but it is pretty normal. A lot of us grow up with this anxiety that we have to be so perfect, and I think that paralyzes you when you get older because it prevents you from experimenting and like trying new careers or trying new majors, and it just doesn't let you get to your fullest potential, you know? So there's a lot of different reasons to it. What are your thoughts on it?
I agree with everything that you said.
Yeah.
I think the one thing that you said that I liked is, you know, growing up, a lot of us deal with low self-esteem that we carry into, like, our adulthood, which I think makes a lot of sense. I think, like, my question was, like, I think self-sabotaging is something that we all kind of do to a certain extent, but I don't think a lot of us know, like, exactly like why we do it. And I think you answered it with you know, tracing it back to like your childhood and like your upbringing, like things that you went through, and like, because it's true that like those things carry over, you know. I think our parents try to tell us that like, oh, like, you know, that happened then, da da da, you're different now, you grow up, but like a lot of things really, really do carry over from, from childhood.
So. And a lot of us still had like that stigma with mental health growing up, you know, like we weren't really able to speak up about things that bothered us in school, or like how maybe our parents treated us. Like we didn't really have the space to be open with our thoughts. And I think sometimes, especially as children of immigrants, like we have this pressure to like fulfill our parents' dreams.
Yeah.
And since they sacrificed so much to move to a country and immigrate here, it is our duty to pay them back and be ultra successful to just like, you know, give them that favor back, right? And because of things like that, there's like this very high pressure, you know, and it leads to like it leads to you not knowing how to express your feelings, and then feeling very low, and you're hard on yourself if you don't accomplish that much, right? Like I remember back in the day, and it's still hard for me sometimes now, where if I'm not doing every single thing on my to-do list, you know, like crossing everything off related to my future success, I'm very hard on myself because I'm like, oh dang, just because I didn't do the one out of the seven things that I need to do today, this whole day was a waste and I did nothing of value today, you know, which is not the right mindset to have.
Yeah.
But I feel like when you are taught to do like 110% and be better than your white counterparts and just like do the most to be successful and pay them back because you're, you know, trying to set up your life for success, but then you're also trying to set up your parents' life for success.
Yeah.
And then we talked about this in the Parentified episode, but like if you're the eldest daughter or the eldest child, you're also trying to like help out your younger siblings, right? So you have so many like societal pressures on your shoulder where it feels like if you're not doing every single thing at the same time, you're not doing anything
like,
at all.
Like 80% isn't enough.
Yeah, 80% is not enough, which is like not a good mindset to have. Obviously, we'll say that in part two of this episode, but it's not healthy for anyone to have that mindset where it's like, oh, you do everything or it means nothing at all, right? Like that's not possible. It's not possible to like balance every single thing in life at the same time. Like people are always like, oh, balance your social life, your work life, your health, and this and that. It's, you can prioritize some things at one time, but you can't do every single thing at the same time, you know? So I think that's important to know.
Pretty good.
Yeah, you like that one? No, what are your thoughts on that one?
Pretty good.
procrastination is such a big thing, big telltale sign that you might have self-sabotaging tendencies, because you're just like hard on yourself and you have this paralyzing feeling that you can't reach the final result, final destination of perfection, and it prevents you from doing anything, right? So it's important to like build these routines and make sacrifices sometimes to build that discipline, right? Like, for example, if I know that I want to become a successful business owner, I'm going to sometimes wake up early in the morning and do things that I don't necessarily like to build this business from the ground up. And that might mean me sacrificing like a good night of sleep sometimes, or like mornings, me sacrificing social life, which happens a lot, right? And again, like, it's really hard to balance everything at the same time. And even if you are striving to do that, that sometimes might be you taking too much of a bite of something that isn't really possible, which might overwhelm you even more and make you procrastinate even more, you know? Because it's like, if you put too much on your plate because you're so overly ambitious, it's important to be ambitious, but if you're trying to do too much at the same time, you're actually not doing anything at all. What was that?
Oh, sorry.
No, what was that?
No, like, if you got too much on your plate, you're gonna get like stuffed.
Wow, no, that was a good one.
And then you're like, you got the itis, you know, and then you have to take like a nap.
And then you're burnt out.
And now you're burnt out. Now you can't do anything for the rest of the day.
Yeah. You can relate.
You have a full tummy.
You can relate.
I get it. I like the way you broke that down.
Yeah. I didn't really break it up. That was you. That was the one that broke it up. Okay.
That one got to me.
You have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, it was about like the relationships. You want to talk about that next?
Yeah. So like, how do you think that it manifests in like career or relationships and things like that, like self-sabotaging tendencies? And have you ever had those type of tendencies in your career or life relationships?
Yeah, you know, I was we actually talked about this recently. I talked about my friend when it comes to like the career. I've gone into detail about like my career journey in previous episodes, but long story short, I feel like the way that I've ended up in the position I'm in today, career-wise, I wouldn't say is luck, but I say it's like, it's always been like people like looking out for me and always been people helping me out. And I think part of me can take that and like define it as like me putting in like my super hard work and me, you know, feeling like, oh, this is an effect of like all like the hustling that I've done in my life, where yeah, there may be truth to that. Obviously I've worked hard, but I think with me doing that, I may feel like I deserve, or like I'm more deserving of like the position that I'm in, just because like, oh, like I work for this, obviously like I deserve more, da da da. Where, and I think with me doing that, I will start taking a lot of things for granted. I will start taking the job that I have for granted. I will start taking, you know, like the relationships that I have and just like, you know, how much I'm worth, like, for granted. And I think with me doing that, I could start getting like really lousy at my job. And I say all this to say, like, I think because of like the career journey I've had, I can get really lousy with my positions and be a very like C+ type of worker, just because like my mind automatically goes to like, oh, like someone else is gonna help me out, someone else is gonna, you know, I'll be okay. Where like, that's not the right mindset to have, you know. And I think I can label this as like self-sabotaging, because like a time can come where someone sees that I'm not doing a good job and just fires me, and then I like have to start from ground zero and realize that like, okay, like nobody is reaching their hand out for me, like I'm like in all this on my own. So I think that's one thing I'm trying to unlearn, that like I talked to you about, is like, I don't want to take your blessings for granted. Like, I don't want to disrespect my blessings anymore, and like I want to make sure to like, you know, make the people who have helped me proud instead of like disrespecting them by doing like a lousy job, you know?
I think that is like a bracket of imposter syndrome though, because it's like you're crediting a lot of your success and, you know, job history to good luck and just good fortune instead of your actual hard work and your degree and all the steps that you took to reach those goals. I think there was a combination of both, where there was some luck associated with it, where you made the right connections, but there's also a lot of hard work associated with it. And like, you have the experience and credentials to qualify for the work that you do, you know? But I think a manifestation of self-sabotage in your adult life is like feeling you don't belong. And I think that also relates to like the lack of representation. Obviously, there are so many doctors and lawyers and engineers and South Asian people in those fields, which is great. But I think since we didn't have like any direct relations or connections to those higher up people, it made us feel like we don't really deserve it. Like, you know, our parents don't work things like that. And they had high dreams for us. We had big, big dreams for ourselves. But like, we didn't really see ourselves in those type of places, you know? So I think that makes it feel like we don't deserve to be there because we don't really have like a direct correlation to anyone else that is there, you know?
That's very true.
So
our reputation is important, not even in like, you know, being a celebrity or nothing, yeah. But like reputation in literally anything, you know, like an actual job, like corporate life, like a coffee shop, like anything. It's so important to have diversity just to show people that, like, you know, this is possible. Because like, if you don't have that, you have people that are just following following.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Blindly, like down a road, like they don't know where they're going, they don't know if it'll work out. And it's just so important to see someone like you, or just know of someone that's done what you've done.
Yeah,
you know, that's why like I'm like blessed to have my sister, because like, you know, having an older sibling who is doing pretty good in life, like, just makes it so much easier for the younger sibling.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's also like imposter syndrome, and then also the fear of failure. Like, this relates to, you know, me and then even you pursuing like a creative route, and the fear of failure and like the lack of representation prevents you from reaching your highest potential or even pursuing it at all, because you're just scared that you're going to fail and you're going against all these cultural norms of, you know, career choices in like South Asian culture, where if you do pursue like being an artist or being an entrepreneur, it's not really seen as good enough in society's or the culture's eyes. So it prevents you from actually wanting to do it. But then even if you do it and you reach some sort of success, it's never like good enough, because you still feel some sort of failure because you didn't reach like the actual, you know, the star, the go-to path that it's made for you.
Yeah.
And I think that prevents you so much from like reaching your highest self. Yeah. You know
what I've been thinking about last couple of weeks is, you know, we're 26 now.
Dang.
Sorry.
So why'd you say that?
That's end statement.
Sorry.
We're 26.
The episode, end of the episode.
And it's been 8 years since.
Oh, dang. Why do you keep?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
No, but it's like this is not going to be a happy point, by the way.
I'm, like, reaching for, like, the happy part.
But it's the fact that, like, you look at back when we were, like, 20, 21, and...
Wait, it's been 8 years since what? High school?
Graduate high school.
Okay.
And you look at when we're 20, 21, 20 years old, 21 years old, and we're pursuing our creative careers versus all of our old classmates that are still enrolled in college, in their third, fourth year, you know, we get into their mid-20s. They graduate. They start working their job. Whereas, like, us, in a way, they might look at us and be like, oh, like, it's cool that he's doing that. And we look at them as, like, oh, like, good for you for, like, following your path. And now we get into, like, the later 20s where, like, we see these people who have been in their corporate jobs, or whether they're a doctor or something government related, like, they're starting to work their way up, you know, and they're starting to, you know, a lot of, like, the pre-med schools are now
doctors
starting a residency, or, like, you know, if they, whatever, like, they're actually getting into, like, that job. And, like, my excuse for my mom all the time, like, when I was, when she told me to go to, like, be a doctor, I was like, mom, like, takes so long, what am I gonna do in these 10-12 years? But, like, now it's a time where, like, they're finishing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at where I am in my life, and I'm happy with where I am, but obviously, like, we strive for, like, bigger and bigger. And I think now is, like, that time frame where, like, we're gonna start comparing ourselves to, like, a lot of the people that graduated high school with us who, like, are now doctors and mm-hmm. who are now getting married. And and I think that may feed a little bit into self-sabotaging, because now we're turning 28 soon, and we're like, oh, like, 28 and there, da da da, and we're da da da, like,
I feel like could have done better. Yeah, I feel like sometimes when we see those examples, those great examples of people accomplishing so much, sometimes it motivates us to do more, but then I feel like most of the time it kind of makes us feel smaller and, like, not mm-hmm. actually want to do it, because we're like, oh, time has run out, like, they've already done this thing, it's going to take 10 more years for us to do it if we want to pursue it. And I think that's, like, makes us fearful and more scared and makes us smaller. And that, like, also relates to how if you have low self-esteem or you're constantly procrastinating on your dreams and goals, you're, like, constantly pushing it off. Sometimes you're so comfortable with, like, your own secure life, whether it is, like, you know, you being a barista and, like, you are always in your hometown and you're so comfortable with working that barista job that's giving you a stable income and living with the people that you've known your whole life, where it's hard after some time to get out of that bubble, right?
Yeah.
Like, you've become so accustomed to what you know and what you're accustomed to that, like, it's not as easy for you to just get out of that whenever you want, you know? And I think a lot of people self-sabotage in that way, because there's, again, so much that you can do with your life, whether it is moving out of your hometown and just exploring the world, or moving to a different city, whether it is trying to, you know, get a higher position in your job. There's a lot that people can do, but once you're in the mindset that, like, what you know is all there is, that's when it feels like it's impossible to reach other things, because you don't even really know about it. It just feels out of reach for you. And I think it's really important to just, like, take risks and get out of your comfort zone once in a while, instead of just, like, sticking to all of the beliefs that you grew up with and are accustomed to, you know, because that can just make you live I'm not saying you live, like, a boring or a traditional life just because you live in your hometown or you work a barista job. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying that there might be other aspirations in your head that you want to accomplish, that you want to do, but you don't feel like it's meant for you, or you don't feel like it's in the cards for you, because you don't even want to try.
Yeah,
you know.
Facts.
So I think that's a
good
big thing.
Good one.
Yeah. How do you think it manifests in relationships? I feel like we've gone through it. We've seen people go through it. I think it's a big part in especially romantic relationships.
I think the one thing that comes to mind is you know, growing up, and you may feel this too, like, growing up, I did a lot for my mom, like, throughout all years of my life, and my mom always asked me for a lot, not, like, money-wise, just, like, tasks, can you do this, can you do that, can you do this, not knowing, like, that she may have been, like, overloading me, she may have just, like, really needed the help, or she, whatever the reason is, like, she just asked me to do a lot, and I think it got to the point where it became a lot for me and I would start forgetting, or I would, like, consciously decide not to, just because, like, it became a lot, like, and I didn't want my mother to get so used to, like, depending on me for, like, literally everything. And I think part of that can carry over into, like, our relationship, to where, like, if you're asking me to do this, this, and that, my mind might go to, like, I'm all right, you know, but like not communicate it with you, like not tell you like how I'm feeling or whatever, but like it may go to like, you know, like the overbearing of like the task, like not even saying that you overbear me or nothing. It could be just like a simple thing that just like, but my mind automatically goes to like, but like without talking, just because like that's what I was like, it's used like to growing up, and, like, you know, so beliefs. And like I know that's not right, you know, I know that like, okay, if I'm not gonna do something, I'm just tell her instead of like say I'm gonna do it and just not knowing that I'm not, you know. But it's like, it's kind of where like the self-sabotage like feeds into this. It's like, you know, doing things subconsciously, not knowing that they're right or wrong. It's just like the way that we go about living our lives due to like what we grew up with, yeah, you know. So
but I think something that we've been trying to be better with in our relationship is like more communication instead of just like holding things to ourselves, because I think you are kind of like a grieve in silence type of person, whereas I'm the type of person to like try to talk it out, you know. We'll talk it out, but like I'll also be silent when something upsets me because I'm trying to process. But like I think I've tried to initiate more like communication around like,
not true. Not true. Sorry.
Okay. We both tried to work on our communication where we're trying to be on the same page.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes or
agree. Okay. Okay. Agree.
Okay. So I think that has helped with like our self-sabotage tendencies, because you know, when we first started dating, like I did the silent treatment.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that was me trying to, that was me kind of pushing you away initially, because I didn't know how to just verbalize my thoughts and be vulnerable, but also I didn't really think that I deserved a happy relationship, you know. And the fact that like you helped me through that and like taught me how to communicate made me feel more deserving. Thoughts on that?
Wow. You have me your thoughts.
No, but I think that's like a hard cycle to break. And again, we'll talk about it in part two. But if you are in like the constant like catch, what's the thing? Like chasing people?
Like catch and release?
No. Oh, like if you're like in the constant police phase of like being in like the high, like the highs of being like going for someone and them coming for you, and you're obsessed with like that dopamine release of like toxic relations.
That's what it's called.
Well, that wasn't what I was trying to say, but like you're in the obsessed phase of like toxic tendencies, and it makes your heart race, and you're like, yeah, I love crazy drama and this and that. It's hard to feel like you want a regulated nervous system, right? It's hard to feel like you want a healthy like relationships, whether it is friends or romantic, but it's hard to get out of that cycle, you know.
Yeah,
you don't really, you're not accustomed to happy relationships, maybe you don't see it in your parents, and maybe that's what you feel like is normal. Like some people thrive off of toxic relationships, but I think there has to be a lot of like unwiring that needs to be done, because you're not supposed to be in a relationship that like constantly makes your nervous system like elevate, that you're constantly trying to like pick fights with the other person. You're not supposed to like make them feel distant from you or like push them away as much as you can. And you're supposed to try to be like vulnerable and be able to open up to your partner and communicate, right? But I think because of, you know, like our past triggers or like root causes, like low self-esteem or not having that healthy representation for relationships, it makes us believe that we're not worthy enough to have one, right? Like I felt for a really long time too that I didn't deserve to be in a healthy relationship. Not even just because I didn't see like happy love around me, like that much of it, but because I felt like I was so independent and so used to being alone as like the oldest daughter, like being hyper independent. I felt like there was no one out there for me that would be able to be like a partner, that would be able to compliment me in my life and support me and like actually show me some sort of love, you know. So I think a lot of people, especially eldest daughters or maybe people that didn't have the best upbringing, feel like there isn't someone out there that deserves them or that they deserve. You know, we also actually talked about it in what was that episode where we talked about like healthy love, and we talked about how a lot, some of the examples we saw of relationships growing up was involving like angry men.
Remember
facts. That one
factor. Yeah,
so I think that's the big thing. Yeah,
you know how like you're talking about like you like because you were so independent, like you didn't think that you would ever find someone that's like compatible of that.
Yeah,
my question is like do you still feel this way like to this day?
No, because you know, like we've been together for 4.5 years now, so like,
okay,
I would hope that like at this point,
okay,
I kind of know.
It was just a question.
No,
just
but yes, I feel like no, you asked like, it like with
just
intention,
like a yes or no type of question.
Are you happy else? With my answer?
Is there, yeah? Okay. Is there anything else, guys? This, for the whole all of last week, I was in Florida and. She's been telling me that she made this soup that she was really excited for me to try. It's not soup. It's just pasta.
I never said it was a soup, okay? I said,
it was a tortellini soup.
I said it was a creamy tortellini soup. I was like, oh, there nice. Was more soup in the past few days of me eating it, but I had all the soup
there
part.
There was no soup. It's just pasta.
Okay, anyway. The last thing that I want to talk about that relate to how it manifests into your life, right? I think it manifests into like a lot of your personal life habits, right? Let me
break that down for me.
So like if you have low self-esteem or you feel like there's all these big goals that you want to reach, but you're too overwhelmed to reach it because you have these perfectionist like qualities, sometimes you follow habits that are self-deprecating or self-sabotaging. Where it could be like poor time management, like you wake up whenever you want, you're kind of just watching Netflix, you don't really have a set schedule, you're constantly scrolling on your phone. It could even be you know resorting to substance abuse to like numb your mind instead of dealing with your feelings, because you just don't have like aspirations for yourself, or maybe you lost hope in yourself, right? And that is such a big thing where like when you've like given up on yourself because maybe so many bad things are happening to you or have happened to you, or you just feel like a failure, I think that's when it makes you feel like you have no motivation to pursue those goals or like keep on living the life you want to live, right? So I think the way your habits are speak very loudly on like how you see yourself. Like what you said about discipline before, discipline is more than just like getting up in the morning and going to work and, you know, working on your dream goals. Discipline is also a form of like self-respect, right? If you are like respecting yourself enough to be your own boss and work on your business, if you are respecting yourself enough to do the things that you set your mind to, that you told yourself that you're gonna do, that builds your self-confidence, that builds your discipline, that also makes your habits a lot more healthy, and you're able to just like cope with life better.
Facts.
You know? So it's really important to, we'll talk about again in the next part, but it's really important to kind of like get to the bottom of all of these things, these tendencies, try to find the root cause of it, and just really like do some self-work.
Blossom.
There. Just blossom from there, you know?
Word.
You like this one?
Yeah, you did wonderful. You did wonderful.
No, yeah, you had some good. You had some good metaphors and examples.
I'll be honest, y'all. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed.
Yeah.
My brain is not working.
Yeah.
I need some Adderall or something.
part two is all you, though.
My brain's not working.
Part two is all you.
A shout out to her. She smoked this one. Good job. You did that.
You ready for the responses we
got? I'm so ready. As y'all know, we ask you guys about your thoughts, feelings, considerations, everything about our upcoming topics of our episodes on our Instagram @difficultish. And please follow us on Instagram if you want to be featured in the next episode, where we give you guys the inside scoop on what we're gonna be yapping about.
Yep.
So what?
And who wouldn't want the inside scoop?
Who? You don't want the inside scoop? Come on.
So in this episode, I asked you guys on the stories, have you ever self-sabotaged something, and why do you think you did that, right? And we got a couple of responses from some of you guys on what you self-sabotage, why you did it. Yep. And we'll get to the bottom of it, right?
Yeah, give me a juicy one.
Someone said, I've never self-sabotaged, but I think people with avoidant attachment do.
Avoidant attachment.
Do you know what avoidant attachment is?
Not too sure what that means.
Okay, you want me to search it up for you?
Avoidant attachment.
So that the avoidant attachment style is an insecure attachment style that can develop when a child doesn't receive the care and attention they need.
Damn.
Yeah. So it's also like a trauma response, right? Some people might. So I didn't mention this in the toxic relationships, but some people push people away or are scared to be vulnerable or emotional because they don't want to be rejected or broken up with. They have abandonment issues. And I think sometimes instead of letting someone else like dump you or letting someone else reject you, it's easier to do it yourself and ruin something good because in your head you made it bad. Right? And I think that's very common, especially when you're younger, to just like be that person to ruin something good before it can happen to you first. You have
no, sorry, I'm thinking about something else.
What the hell are you thinking?
Sorry, I'm thinking about something else.
It's what can you possibly be thinking about right now?
It's not relevant at all.
Okay.
Yeah, you're mad at me.
He really does need Adderall. Okay. No, genuinely, did you hear anything I just said?
Yeah, I was
can you put that away?
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Someone said, every relationship because I'm worried that they won't like me as much as I like them, and then I distance myself.
Relationships. Yeah, you know, self-worth, you know, we gotta know what we're worth, we gotta know what we deserve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't just because you were treated one way growing up, don't mean that you gotta be treated like that for the rest of your life.
But again, it's hard to unlearn that, so we're gonna do a whole deep dive on that soon.
Oh my goodness.
Someone said, yes, because I don't deserve good things.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that's a very big belief that many of us might have grown up with regarding like imposter syndrome and then also low self-esteem and then having these really high expectations put on us, where as we grow up we feel like we're not good enough to deserve the life that we want.
Yeah.
And it really hinders us from like reaching our fullest potential. So I think it's really important to just do like positive self-talk with that, like for example, sometimes it's hard for me to feel like I made it or feel like I deserve to be in the position that I'm in, whether it is traveling or within my business, because I'm constantly like striving for the best and trying to do more than what I already have. And I try to negate the really bad self-talk I might have. It's a lot easier for me to do it now because I've just rewired my brain, but I try to say positive self-talk instead of me constantly believing like the negative, you know. Like even when I was traveling to Spain, you can actually see it in one of my Barcelona vlog on YouTube. There's a clip where we're visiting one of the buildings and I was like, oh, we deserve to be here, you know, because sometimes when we're traveling and we feel like we're wasting all this money on travel, because you know, a lot of our parents told us to save our money, travel, but do it after marriage or after kids and do it very sparsely. It might feel wasteful to be indulging and spending this much money on travel and not feeling like you actually deserve it, right? So I said that out loud because it's like a reminder to myself. Like instead of you thinking it's a wasteful act to travel and you not even enjoying this trip that you worked so hard to pay for and come on, like try to rewire that thinking. And
I like that.
Say that you deserve it.
I like that. Know? I like that.
Yeah.
You did that.
Words are powerful. Thoughts are powerful.
Words are powerful.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Go on.
All right.
I like that shit. I like that.
Next part of this episode is, Our 10-second advice.
Uh-huh. 10-second advice. 10-second advice.
You like this episode?
Where we should... Yeah. Yeah. I liked it. Sorry, y'all. I underperformed. I know. But she overperformed for me. So yeah. Please...
I told you I'd carry today.
Yeah, she did. She absolutely did. Please, you know, listen to her words.
It's okay,
she's
I got
speaking,
you.
She's speaking beautiful
partners
things.
For a reason.
Yeah. Teamwork. 10-second advice... I've never been a big proponent of this until like last week. Get some fuzzy socks for the winter.
Oh my god, please. Please do no more. Why? Why did you even try saying that out loud? Why did you even say that out loud?
Just as a reminder, like some people forget that fuzzy socks are a thing. I'm here to remind you, they're a thing.
Can you say a normal one?
You say normal ones. You say normal ones all the time, right?
Please yeah. Get fuzzy socks. Like, I'm not a big proponent of this.
I forgot. You're right. You always say normal things. I forgot.
My 10-second piece of advice is to make a mini actionable plan for the next 3 months on how you can reach some of the goals that you have this year.
Oh.
So if you have a huge goal that feels very overwhelming and daunting and you're a big procrastinator, then try to make a goal for the next few months with small bite-sized habits or things you want to reach for that will help you get to the bigger picture.
OMG.
Yeah.
OMG.
You want to change yours?
No.
Okay.
It's called balance.
What's the Bangla word of the week for this episode? The word of the day is bondhu.
Bondhu.
That means?
That means
friend. Since we talked about relationships and friendships and this and that, bondhu means friend in Bangla. Yeah,
otherwise known as bandubi.
Oh, bandubi.
We got options. Yeah. Dost.
Dost.
We got options.
But if you guys listened this far, thank you so much. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
Yeah.
Make sure to stay tuned for part two because that's like the juicy part, okay? That's what we're going to talk about. All of the ways to actually unlearn this because we just put a lot of information in your face. It might be subtweeting you a little bit, but we hope that you take it with love. Okay?
If
you listen this far, make sure to comment
the holding hands emoji.
Oh, wow. I was going to say
boy,
hug.
Girl, yeah. Boy, girl, whoever it is. We don't discriminate.
Yeah.
Drop down one of those, any skin color, and we'll see you next time.
We love you. Allah Hafiz.
Difficult issue. Thank you.